Welcome, everybody, to Parashat Vayechi. It's been a real honor and a privilege to go through Sefer Bereshit with all of you. And I think I would be remiss if I did not give this kind of a closing statement towards all of Sefer Bereshit here in Parashat Vayechi. Moses Judah Folkman, as some of you may know from previous podcasts, was an American medical scientist, best known for his research on tumor angiogenesis. Now, in case you aren't sure what angiogenesis is, I surely was not until this past semester in medical school. Angiogenesis is the process by which a tumor attracts blood vessels to nourish itself and sustain its existence. Angiogenesis is completely integral to the survival of any tumor. So who was this Dr. Folkman? He was a man born in 1933 in Cleveland, Ohio, and he would often accompany his father, a rabbi, on visits to hospital patients. By age 7, Dr. Folkman knew that he wanted to be a doctor rather than follow in his father's footsteps so that he could offer cures in addition to comfort. When he informed his dad of his decision, his father replied, "In that case, you can be a rabbi-like doctor. In other words, you can be a doctor with the qualities of a rabbi." These were words that his son took to heart. Dr. Folkman went on to found the field of angiogenesis research, which was dedicated to the discovery of a number of therapies based on inhibiting or stimulating neovascularization, or blood vessel growth inside of tumors. Eventually, Dr. Folkman was successful. He went on to discover a medication called bevacizumab, and this medication, he thought, would be the cure for all cancers. It'll cut off circulation to any kind of tumor. Unfortunately, when he first began to administer this medication, not only did it not cure cancer, but it actually improved the vasculature towards tumors, and it gave them a better supply of blood than they had ever had before. So Dr. Folkman thought he was a complete failure. He thought that this entire enterprise of his was completely shot to hell. Amazingly, though, he realized that this medication potentiated the ability for chemotherapy to get directly to the center of the tumor. So I think this is one way that he was able to view it, is that no, this is not a failure. This is actually improving the existing chemotherapies that exist. And because of this seeming failure, a complete success emerged. And they were able to open up an entirely new field of treating cancer and new types of chemotherapy for the future. So I think this is one amazing way to view failure. Really, failure is only part of the broken road that leads us to success. So we've now approached the end of Sefer Bereshit. And as we all know, the family of Yaakov is on the verge of becoming the nation of Israel, a nation called upon by the Almighty Himself to bring blessing and morality, or as Hashem told Abraham, tzedakah u'mishpat, to the world. But the road to nationhood really has not been easy for Am Yisrael. In the words of Rabbi Shammah, throughout the book, which is Sefer Bereshit, the founding family's very survival was threatened by formidable obstacles, including barren wives, famines, contention with competitors, ethical misjudgments and deceptions, strife between brothers, or as well as the natural after effects of transgression. So how did we do it? How did Am Yisrael go on to overcome all of these obstacles and poise ourselves at the crossroads of destiny to becoming the nation of God? I think the answer lies in the character of two great men, the character of Yosef and Yehuda. These two men would go on to become the main players in the illustrious history of Am Yisrael, with Yosef's son Ephraim leading the northern kingdom, and with the descendants of Yehuda taking the throne in the south. These two men, although they were brothers, they did have their differences. As we all know, Yosef did not exactly get along with his brothers, and it was Yehuda who came up with the plan to sell Yosef. Furthermore, these two men clearly had their own personal character flaws early on in their lives. Yosef was a young and naive teenager who completely lacked social tact and diplomacy. He would flaunt his status as the favored son, and he would even snitch on his other brothers. Yehuda's life, on the other hand, was completely derailed after he sold his brother into slavery. We hear about his marrying a Canaanite in stark contrast to the ways of the forefathers, We know about Yitzhak that Abraham went to great lengths to make sure that Yitzhak did not marry outside the faith. Yaakov, same thing. His parents made sure that he would marry somebody within the nation. We then hear about the maltreatment of Tamar and his encounter with Tamar in the context of prostitution. Things really did not look good for Yehuda. But I really think we can zero in on exactly when it was that Yehuda redeemed himself. We mentioned this a few parshiot ago. And that was the moment at which he admitted to being the father of Tamar's unborn children, when he says, Sadeka mimeni, she's more righteous than I. Throughout that narrative, the Torah uses a very unique word for the collateral that Yehuda gave to Tamar, and that word is Eravon. This very stem of the same word appears in two later contexts in our story, and I think both of them are intended to draw our attention towards contrasting these different contexts in which this stem appears. Famously, Yehuda goes on to tell his father about Binyamin, Anochi e'advenu, miyadi tevachshenu. I will be responsible for this child, for Binyamin. You can ask him from me. He's completely taking responsibility within the family's destiny. And this time, it's for the good. As opposed to last time, where it was collateral for a prostitute. And then finally, in Parashat Vayigash, we hear Yehuda pleading with Yosef to let his brother Binyamin go free and take him instead as a slave. Yehuda says, Ki avdecha arav etana'ar. There's that arav word again. The Torah is making it very clear to us that Yehuda is completely making a 360 in his life. Yehuda has learned from his difficult experience and his failures, and not only has he learned from them, but he's turned his failures into the successful character traits that made his lineage worthy of nothing short of the melucha, of the kingship. Yosef, on the other hand, in contrast to his early years, where he lacked that social tact, where he was unable to really get along with his brothers and be careful about the way that he made them feel, Yosef now is incredibly sensitive to the feelings of his brothers, saying, Lo atem shelachtem oti henna, ki Elohim, it's not you who sent me here, really it's God. And it's a beautiful way of interpreting the series of events, even to the people who caused him so much pain. He completely forgives them and makes it very clear that his role in the nation was never for self-glorification, but rather for the sole purpose of sustaining the future of Am Yisrael. So I think we could conclude from all of this that it's in the merit of these great men, the merit of Yosef, the merit of Yehuda, that the nation of Am Yisrael really developed into the nation of God. But this success story didn't begin with success. It began with failures. It began with difficulties. It began with obstacles. But it was because of those obstacles, because of those failures, that we were able to be formed into the people that we were necessary to become. And that's the exact same theme that we're going to see in Sefer Shemot. That it's that formative experience, that Kor HaBarzel, that we're going to have in Mitzrayim, that's going to allow us to be people that are sensitive to the pleas of other people, sensitive to the vulnerable, sensitive to slaves, sensitive to gerim, to strangers in our land. So I think we could all take a lesson from these great men, both ancient and modern, from Yehuda and Yosef, and from Dr. Judah Folkman today, from Judah to Judah. And we could go on to see failure, not as something that has to be a complete roadblock for us, but rather failure as paving the way to our future success. Thank you very much. Shabbat Shalom.